You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Welcome into First Take on this Feel Good Friday. Day one of the draft in the books, live from Vegas, and I am crewed up. Dan Orlovsky, Keyshawn Johnson, Stephen A. Smith, I'm Molly Karam. Fellas, how we feeling? How we doing?
I feel amazing.
Yeah?
I feel amazing. Now, I have to correct you on something. What? Good morning to you, Molly.
Good morning.
Key, what up?
Good morning, yes. Again.
What up,
I didn't. What
okay,
up, though?
Go ahead.
I did not fly out here, coach. I flew out here in first class because I did not book nor pay for the flight. But on the way home this past weekend,
wait, what?
With my family, we did sit in 37. We were 37 ABC.
Damn.
D-E-E-F-D.
And you actually have no shame in admitting it. So you come out here by yourself and you fly first class.
But that wasn't my choice.
But when the wife is with you, she got the fly.
It wasn't your choice.
She should leave you. She should leave you.
ESPN forced my hand to fly.
ESPN was like, you belong in first class.
And you said with a smile on your face.
We want to pay more money.
Because I've been out here for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
I have had a dozen people come up to me and be like, how'd you fly out here? Is Stephen A. going to get mad at you for flying out here in first class and not
this
coach?
Is shameful.
It's Stephen
this
A.
This is shameful. So you can fly first class, but the wife is in coach. And she should leave you. She
you
should leave you for, she should leave you
two
for at least 2 weeks and leave you home with the kids by yourself.
Damn.
Okay?
I'd rally.
Then maybe you will appreciate her
it's
more.
Equal,
well, did
Dan.
You just, your response was I'd rally?
I'd rally, yeah. 2 weeks home with the kiddos, I'd rally.
Oh,
it's equal,
my
Dan. If you fly first class, she should fly
I didn't pay
class.
For it.
Doesn't matter, though.
Shameful.
You're a cheapskate, huh?
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
You are. Are you cheap?
I'm embarrassed to have you on this show
cheap.
Right now. I'm embarrassed, and I love you, but I'm embarrassed. I can't believe how shameful you are right
well,
now.
Well, you'll be more embarrassed after I whoop you over these next three segments.
Well, ain't gonna
Let's
whip
go.
Me.
Hey, how about my New York football Giants?
Giants had a good night.
Right? Giants had a great
Not
night.
Bad.
Don't diminish it. It
good
was
night.
An action-packed
Jets was better.
First night. And of course you would say that. And we got you covered on all the key takeaways from round one of the NFL draft. Let's get it. Trayvon Walker was taken first overall by the Jags, but it was really the Bulldogs who stole the show. Five Georgia players in total picked across four teams in the first round, all on the defensive side of the ball. Six wide receivers taken in round one, including three in a row and four out of five between picks 8 and 12. Back-to-back Buckeyes picked at 11 and 12 and Chris Olave and Jameson Williams. They went to the Saints and the Lions, respectively. The big question, where were the quarterbacks? Only one pick in the first round. Kenny Pickett headed to the Steelers at number 20. The latest of the first quarterback has come off the board in a quarter century. I will start with you, Stephen A., since it's your team. By the way, that Kenny Pickett moment, very beautiful.
Yes.
Very emotional.
Cool
staying in his hometown, the whole thing. Did the Steelers – you like the emotional story. You felt tender in your heart as well. Did the Steelers make a mistake drafting Kenny Pickett?
I'm not qualified to say that. I'm just going to be honest, okay? This is the NFL draft. It was a beautiful moment with his parents. It touched my heart. I must
it
admit.
It did touch
I
my heart.
I mean, I know Stevie A loves the kids. I sure do. But in the same breath,
hometown
I love
kid.
Family. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It was a beautiful, beautiful thing,
yeah.
man. My, you know, I can't deny it. But I got my questions. And again, Kenny Pickett, let me be very, very clear. I haven't seen much of this kid. I saw one or two games in the dude's career. I know there was a significant upgrade from the junior year to the senior year. Completed 67% of his passes, rather. Threw for like 42 touchdowns,
yep.
seven interceptions, if I remember correctly. I mean, those are impressive numbers. We get that, okay? And I understand it. And I saw the evaluation report on him. Again, I'm going to defer to y'all because y'all know better than me. Here's my trepidation. All I've been hearing about was this kid Willis. That's all I was hearing about. If you're going to get anybody, it's that brother that you need to get the arm strength, the mobility, et cetera, et cetera. That's what people were saying about him. I sincerely hope, King and Dan, I hope that this wasn't one of those picks where, oh, my God, you know, Dan Marino once played locally and we let him get out of Pittsburgh, so we have to make sure that we don't let this kid who stars at Pitt get out of Pittsburgh.
No one was thinking
he's
about
homegrown.
Dan Marino.
He's homegrown. He's one of ours. Don't let him leave. I'm hoping that it wasn't an emotional decision.
Yeah.
One based on nostalgia that we actually got a kid that is going to put an end to Mason Rudolph, okay, and cats like that, that's going to stay, that's going to make a difference, that's going to be able to walk in from week one and guess what? Dare I say, beat out Mitchell Trubisky. I hope that's something that this is that kind of kid that they weren't picking somebody just because he's homegrown.
Well, I'll tell you this. From day one, it should be an open competition between him and Mitchell Trubisky. Absolutely.
Sure.
I think the Steelers are better today. The mistake is, I don't think that Kenny Pickett is a guy that can go face-to-face with Lamar Jackson or face-to-face with Joe Burrow or face-to-face with Deshaun Watson. I do not believe he has that high-end talent. And that's why I sit there, and I was one of those people that said Steelers at 20, Malik Willis is the only guy in this draft that at that spot you feel talent-wise can at least throw punch for punch with those guys. Candidly, Stephen A., I'll tell you this. I think Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky are pretty much the same player.
Oh, I'm,
they are. They are guys that are good athletes. They use their legs to help them become better players. They are average with their accuracy, and they're mechanically flawed. And that's the reality. Neither guy has this high-end ability where if he's got good coaches around him and good talent around him, you sit there and go, this dude's this absolute superstar. Pay him whatever he wants. And that's why I was one of those people that if Pittsburgh at 20, if Malik Willis is there, take him. So it's not a mistake in the aspect that the Steelers are a better football team today than they were yesterday because it'll breed better competition at that spot. But I don't think that the Steelers can sit there and say within their own division, they've got a quarterback that gives them a chance over the next decade.
I'm going to try to make you feel good, Stephen A.
Okay, please do.
I think different of Mitch Trubisky than most people, okay? He wasn't taken second overall just because they liked him.
I think Mitch Trubisky's a good player.
He had some talent.
Yeah.
He had some talent.
Yeah.
He did lead a team to the playoffs or was a part of a playoff team twice.
Yeah.
So let's go there. As far as hometown hero with Kenny Pickett, all that, it's certainly factored into the equation.
There's you see no him every day at practice.
They have more day. Intel than anybody. They share the same, you know, they share the same room,
that's
basically.
Right. Yeah.
You go through one wall, you're on the Steelers side. The other wall, you're on Pitt Panther side.
Right.
I don't believe that he's going to beat out Mitch Trubisky, but that's just me right now. And in terms of Malik Willis, he can go toe-to-toe with those other guys that you mentioned, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, but not today. It's going to take time. He has a lot of flaws as well. But I thought, you know, when I looked at him early in the season in college when they played Ole Miss, I said he's not ready. But then during the offseason, he got better and better by training. So I'm sure when Coach Tomlin and them looked at him, they said to themselves, we think that Pickett is better. We also understand who he is. That helps us with a comfort level.
But here's what I'm asking y'all both. I'm asking y'all both. I want to know what exactly is he. When you say you know
Kenny
what
Pickett?
He is, yeah, Kenny Pickett, what
at
is
his,
he?
At his high end, he's Tony Romo. If he at the NFL level.
But what do you mean by that? A gunslinger?
Yeah,
gunslinger for sure.
So you got that on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the arm strength, but it's not a steep drop-off.
Okay.
But he's a gunslinger, go around, run around, make some plays, eye-popping stuff, but then there's going to be some what-are-you-doing type of moments. Stephen A., here's the truth for you, though. You guys don't stand a chance against Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. You don't, because their quarterbacks are so good, and the Baltimore Ravens had a phenomenal draft. The Bengals have a very good roster, and the Browns have a very good roster. So they got good rosters, and they got rock stars at quarterback. So, again, this is not a, you know, rain on Kenny Pickett morning. It's an awesome story. You guys don't stand a chance in your own division because you don't have a difference maker at quarterback.
I wouldn't say that. Like, Dan, you're trying to stand a chance because I believe you got a chance every single Sunday.
Okay.
Especially with Mike Tomlin on the sideline coaching him up. There's a certain philosophy when you have this style quarterback. I'm not asking him to match a throw for throw. I need my defense to play solid and sound. I need Najee Harris to run the football. And I need, whether it's Mitch Trubisky, Rudolph, Pinkett, whoever.
Don't mention Rudolph. No, I don't want to hear anything about Rudolph anymore.
Get
don't
him out.
Rudolph.
So he's gone.
Okay,
no, the other two, I just need to make a handful of nice throws and not turn the football
but you,
over.
Keisha, you really think that
what
he can compete
that's
in that
philosophy.
Division? You really
that is what Pittsburgh has always done. We act like Ben Roethlisberger was 45 of 50, 500 yards and 6 touchdowns every game.
Not every
game.
That's
not what they did.
But the Bengals and Browns weren't as good.
Bro, this cat didn't stumble into the Hall of Fame.
They didn't have Burrow. They didn't have Deshaun Watson.
All I'm saying is, early in his career, they manage it a certain way.
But to Molly's point, early in
it was a different deal. It was Baltimore.
No, I hate when people say that, though.
It was Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and that was it.
I hate when people say
the truth.
That no, it's not the truth that the game was all of a sudden changed to the point where everybody's throwing the ball all over the place. Yes, it was only 2 teams in the division. Okay, so there's 3 now. There's 3. You
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, 3, and you're not one of them.
No, but we don't know that yet.
Well, we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet, Molly.
The games haven't been played. But let me ask you this question.
We know that.
No,
let me ask you. Is Kenny Pickett? Can he run with the football?
Yeah, he's a very good athlete.
He can extend plays.
But he's also
he can move the chains. He can run for first downs. He has a stationary target in the pocket.
No.
Okay. That's good news.
But he is a turnover machine.
Oh damn.
He corrected it though. He corrected it this past year.
How?
But he just got better.
Here's another truth. He's 24, or he's going to be 24 in a month. Mitch Trubisky's 27. When you're 24 in college, and Pitt had a lot of other, they were calling super seniors because the coach, you should play really good football.
Yeah.
You've been playing 24 years old.
Why did you call your boy Lewis Riddick? He'll give you the scouting report.
He's a good player.
Lewis went to Pitt. He's going to say the right things.
He's a good player.
The Steelers entered last night 4th in the division.
And they came out 4th in the division.
Both now and in the future.
That's fine.
You're killing me. So I'm trying to ease you up. Let me summarize what y'all said. The brother got an arm.
Yep.
And he got wheels.
Yep.
But he takes chances.
Yes.
He's going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Yes.
And he ain't the brightest candle on the birthday cake.
And he's
That's what it sounds
machine.
Like y'all are saying
no, he's
to me.
He's for sure a
turnover machine.
Oh, damn.
And his comp is a cowboy, so it's all good. Can we move on now and get to that bad man?
Well, I mean, I just want to make sure because, I mean, the Pickett family might be wondering. I'm not making any judgment. I haven't really seen it.
I don't think it's a bad pick. I'm a fan of the Pickett family. I don't think it's a bad pick, but it's not. It's not the best pick at quarterback, but the quarterback market is
Who
bad.
Who would you have taken?
I wouldn't have taken either one of them, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have touched either one. I would have taken Malik Willis. So
I'm sitting here relying on 2 NFL experts, both of which say they wouldn't have picked Pickett. Why should I be happy about this?
Should have got Baker Mayfield. All right, can we move on? Can we move on, please?
What?
This year.
This is blasphemous.
Another quarterback. That Aaron Rodgers was supposed to finally get that first-round wide receiver, right? There's no way they would move on from Devontae Adams and not draft a receiver with this class. Well, not so fast. After 6 receivers were drafted before the Packers had a chance to pick, they drafted 2 more defensive players in Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, still without a replacement for the departed Adams. Aaron Rodgers isn't the only quarterback left looking for a top target. Lamar Jackson already up for a new contract. Now he's up for a new weapon, too, as the Baltimore Ravens traded Marquise Hollywood Brown in the 100th pick in the draft for the Cardinals' first round pick. Brown caught 91 balls for 1,008 yards a year ago. Lamar Jackson voiced his displeasure on Twitter, tweeting 3 simple letters to tell you the story, WTF. Jackson later made it clear the pick they traded for, center Tyler Linderbaum, wasn't what upset him. Okay, Keyshawn, who should be more disappointed? Is it Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson?
I would probably say Lamar.
Okay.
I would honestly say Lamar. And the reason is one, he didn't even know that Hollywood Brown was on the move. Mm-hmm. They did. If they would have replaced, and they may still do it day 2, day 3, replace Hollywood Brown with something else, then you go, okay, this is someone he works out with, has a relationship with. You mentioned 90-plus catches, 1,000 yards. He started to kind of come on into his own after having a bunch of drops throughout his career, Molly. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the Baltimore Ravens every single year, Dan, seem to think that they don't need to address the receiver position. Although they got Rashad Bateman in the first round a year ago, he never really played. We don't know what he is. But they don't really have anything offensively. So it makes you wonder, what are they trying to do with the quarterback? The reason I don't care about Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers done made normal dudes look great and go get money, right? And so I think he can still do that with no problem at all. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar situation is way different. It's well, way different, man.
I'm a roll with Key on this. Okay. And the reason why I'm a roll with Key on this is for several reasons, actually. Number one, Lamar Jackson has not signed a contract extension, right?
No.
So in other words, you don't have an agent, do you? You know, you don't have an agent. You ain't signed your contract. Well, guess what? When you ain't locked in, you understand what I'm saying? Even though the team, theoretically speaking, obviously, because they don't have any intent of letting you go, when you are not locked in, when your situation is not rock solid, signed, sealed, and delivered, it kind of puts you in a position where what your feelings may not matter. Because at the end of the day, we need to make sure you're taken care of first. And since you haven't made that enough of a priority to make sure that stuff gets handled, we don't care about your tweets about WTF.
This doesn't help.
I'm just saying, I don't think it helps them either. But the point is that you've got an opportunity to put your imprint on the franchise, not just by your extraordinary performance on the field, but by you being a part of the fabric to a degree where you're able to say, this is what I want, here's why. In terms of the pieces around me, right, speak up, say something. That's number one. Number two, the reason I'd say Lamar Jackson as opposed to Amari Rodgers, Keyshawn's absolutely right. You got your money. And by the way, yeah. you were speaking to Devontae Adams. What do you mean you were shocked that he was gone? I mean, I thought you was talking to Gutta Kids more. I thought you was talking to management more. I thought you were part of everything that was going on in Green Bay. I mean, why the hell did you know what they were going to do with Devontae Adams? Are you sitting here, Aaron Rodgers, and telling us that you had no clue? What were you doing? Getting your cleanse? Your cleanse? And while you were getting your cleanse in India,
so
wherever the hell you were,
cleanse.
Suddenly, I mean, that's when he was moved? Last time I checked, you got cleanse. Back. But listen, I ain't bringing it up by accident. He's the one that sat up there and went through the cleanse and they came back and told everybody about it, giving all these gory details that none of us really wanted to hear, especially while we were eating. But he told us. He most certainly did. And Devontae Adams, if I remember correctly, he didn't get traded or moved while you were doing the cleanse. It was afterwards. So if you communicating with the franchise, what the hell you mean you were surprised? And if you were surprised, why aren't you a bit more upset than you came across? Your number one weapon by a mile, who is considered arguably the best receiver in football, your team let go, and you, Aaron Rodgers, and seemed utterly unfazed. Why should we be fazed about anything going on with him? It's Lamar Jackson we should be concerned about.
But see, I think the communication between Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams was more like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. And Devontae was like, I'll go over here with Carr because I don't. Yeah. You eat one foot in, one foot out. I don't need that mess.
But it was traded after he came back from the clinic.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was out, he was gone.
Can I ask you one question before you answer this? Does something smell here with the Lamar Jackson thing to you? Because as a player, I would assume that you would want to get the deal done.
Good transition from Aaron Rodgers. Good transition.
Well, with Lamar you kept himself? Talking about cleanse and movement, no, they, so I had
with
enough
Lamar
for you.
Himself?
Yeah, I'm saying like I mean, that just, he that he might not want to be in Baltimore. You think it's just
no? I think he wants to be in Baltimore.
You think it's just for the money? Like
no, I just think Lamar does not care about anything more important right now than winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I honestly believe that.
You don't want your guaranteed money, God forbid you get hurt. Why wouldn't you protect yourself?
I don't think that young man fears anything.
And he's not gonna get hurt, Molly, because he ain't getting on the field, Dan, in September till he gets his contract done.
I don't think he fears that. I just don't. I think he is ultra confident in himself. You both are dead wrong on this, by the way.
Why? Tell me.
Shout out to McAfee and the boys for having Aaron on last night. Phenomenal show, by the way. Here's my thing.
When are you going on?
Whenever
Pat invites me. Are you going to be his backup?
I think the bottom feeders have to wait a little bit. The peasants, you know, the low bodies. You guys are, dude.
Tell me.
The Packers flipped Devontae Adams
for
two defensive question mark project development players for a top 10 defense, Key. The Green Bay Packers were a top 10 defense last year. And
they got better.
But they were top 10.
In the end, they got better.
Are the Packers a bona fide Super Bowl contender Friday morning after the draft? But don't I'm answering
no. As you got 12.
God bless, no, Key.
As long as you got 12, man.
Key, their number two pass catchers coming off ACL surgery.
I've watched 12 developed receivers.
Who?
As I said before.
Hoover? Who?
First of all, Devontae Adams. I'll start there.
Devontae
He helped develop him. Okay. Lazar helped develop him.
MVS
helped develop him.
Right.
Then Randall Cobb helped develop him. I could go on and on a list of them that he helped develop. I'm not saying that all of a sudden Devontae Adams is going to walk in the building. We don't know what they're going to do in these next rounds coming up offensively.
And yes, so they've got two picks in the second round tonight that made it.
There's no way. We all sat here, Key, and said that they had to go get a wide receiver. Their number one wide receiver is Alan Lazard right now, who runs a 4.6. He's a good player, but they have no speed on offense.
I understand, but the draft is not over with yet.
But you act like they're the only team drafting in the second round.
I don't.
There's a bunch of teams that need.
It's not over with yet, and you got 12. Dude, you just made his job harder. You made it harder, no question about it.
So
it doesn't mean that he can't get it done because he's shown us that he can.
Lamar Jackson, I think, was probably a little bit more hurt personally. Him and Hollywood are good friends.
Yeah, they're both brothers.
Right. So, like, the fact that he doesn't
Florida
know.
Kids, the whole deal.
Right. And Hollywood is the one that requested out. He's probably hurt a little bit more. We should have seen the tea leaves because the Ravens have been drafting receivers over the past couple years. The Packers did not need defensive reinforcements. They had a top 10 defense. They lost the playoff game and they gave up 13 points.
Yeah,
this football
team
is
reinforcement.
Offensively. They needed
a
piece defensively, but not in those two first round picks. The lack of aggressiveness. We are sitting here, a lack of aggression. Mm-hmm. We are sitting here going, man, Philadelphia didn't wait. Philadelphia went up and realized there was urgency. The New York Jets traded back in.
Right.
There was urgency. The Packers just sat and were not aggressive. And I'll tell you this. I think that the Lions and the Vikings, the gap between the Packers and the Lions and Vikings is not that big anymore. I'm telling you. I'm
really?
Telling you, Stephen A. Mark my words.
They have a quarterback.
Mark my words.
Stephen A.
The Lions.
Mark my words.
Hold up. They had a good draft, and they do have a quarterback.
Yeah, I like Jared.
Yeah, Goff is the middle of the pack quarterback. Am I right?
And Malik Willis is
still
on board.
Maybe he's not your boy Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
That was
solid,
a good draft.
Solid, good player.
Right?
Yeah,
solid
good player.
He's better than – wait, hold up. He's better than what the Steelers have.
Really?
You
can
hear
say
me?
That,
he's
but they don't – but they don't. But Dan Campbell ain't Mike Tomlin.
Stephen A.
Okay.
Dan Campbell had those boys play.
Listen, I know that you try religiously to make the Detroit Lions relevant.
They're about to be a problem. I'm quite sure. How'd you forget
I'm
that?
I'm quite sure. They do have good nights on draft night. But how does it translate to the season? The fact that you're going to sit up there and say, oh, they're not that far apart from the Packers. I mean, stop.
They were doing
just
the same thing your team was doing last year.
Stop it.
No, he said the Vikings. He didn't say the Packers, did you?
No, I said the Lions and the Vikings closed the gap.
He's a loser. Oh,
please, the Lions.
Green Bay Packers. Stop it.
Guys, how are you sitting here telling me that the Green Bay Packers are exponentially better in their division?
No.
Their offense is not explosive.
Listen.
They lost to Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
They have Aaron Rodgers.
I know that.
You have Jared Goff.
Correct.
They have their history. You have yours, meaning the Lions. Stop it. You're just making us laugh.
Man,
okay, that's number three.
Right.
That's number two. That's number two. Number three. Number three. Here's one thing.
Dan, I'll remember this.
Sure.
We're going to bring the tape back.
I'm sure you remember it, Molly.
No, because I think he's onto something.
Oh, he's not. Stop it. The point is this, though.
Listen,
here's the deal.
Look at Bird.
Should we consider something?
What?
Should we consider one thing? Is it possible? I'm just throwing this to y'all. Is it possible that Green Bay is like, show up our defense.
Yes.
Give the offense more opportunities in terms of having bites at the apple. Make sure you got a defense that's going to stop offenses, et cetera, et cetera, right? This brother was talking all of this junk, and he wanted his money.
Nah,
let
he ain't trying to self-sabotage.
This guy, soap opera, always coming up with the theories.
I'm talking about Green Bay is saying.
Who was talking all of
this? No.
Rodgers.
I'm saying Green Bay is saying, You supposed to be the man?
No.
You supposed to be the man?
Is it possible?
No, they're not purposely hoping
you
fail.
I didn't say that.
Hold on.
They said, listen, we'll take care of this then.
No.
Since you that dude,
no.
Go ahead and get it
you
done.
You love conspiracy theories. You're such
Adams,
a soap opera guy.
But he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be there.
Right. Yeah, because,
they offered him more money.
But they hesitated, as you pointed out.
Yeah, they hesitated.
Exactly. And he got tired of it and said, let me go to a more stable situation.
But they wanted to keep it.
Okay. I understand that, but you know, damn it, they waited until
the
last
minute
to offer him that
here's
money.
My question.
Last word.
Going into the draft, do we believe that Aaron Rodgers had confidence, like a supreme level of confidence of the people that are around him on their offense? Heavens no.
No.
So we wake up Friday morning, his feelings aren't any different. We'll see what happens tonight.
He seemed pretty cool on Monday. Maybe on Monday, this is a different conversation.
If they get a John Metchie from Alabama or a George Pickens, then I'll feel differently
all
Monday.
All of a sudden they trade for somebody out there. But there's some veteran receivers that's out there.
Yeah,
Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell's the only one.
There's still Julio and Odell. Yeah,
you still got Landry out there.
All right, from one major wide receiver move to another. You're done.
T.O. wants to play still.
And perhaps you're so stupid. You with the drama. Always about the drama. The biggest surprise of the entire draft. The Tennessee Titans traded A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles for the 18th and 101st picks in this year's draft. A.J. Brown teams up with Devontae Smith to give a 1-2 punch for quarterback Jalen Hurts. The Eagles finished 3 games behind the Cowboys last year in the NFC East. I've got a Cowboy with me and an Eagle fan by marriage, along with Stephen A., who spent 18 years in Philly. What was it, the Philadelphia Inquirer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I should know that.
Journalist.
Yeah. This is columnist.
So I have to ask the question. We don't have time for your resume. Are the Eagles now passing the Cowboys?
Expensive.
Did you hear me? Sorry. Yeah. He's just bragging on himself.
Me first?
Yeah.
I already know what he's going to say. I ain't even worried about it.
The Eagles were above the Cowboys heading into the draft last night. They surely are now.
With Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
Absolutely. Guys, Molly, this game's
really?
For 22 people. This ain't just quarterbacks. Eagles were a better football team heading into. The Cowboys, the truth about the Cowboys are they're weak on the offensive line. They're number two wide receivers coming off of an ACL surgery, and they lost their edge rusher. So they took a tackle out of Tulsa, and people are – saying he's going to be a really good player. I'm not going to pretend that I know all about that, but he's got a lot of penalties. Mm-hmm. So they addressed something that they had to do.
A lot of holding.
The Eagles legitimately are going to be the toughest team in the NFL to tackle. One of the toughest teams in the NFL to tackle. Jalen Hurts is going to be a problem. Miles Sanders is going to be a problem. Goddard's a problem. A.J. Brown's a monster. Smith, I mean, they're going to be a difficult. The Cowboys right now have issues. I think they did a disciplined and smart draft. The Eagles were already ahead of them going into last night. They are a step above the Dallas Cowboys in division favorites morning after the NFL draft. No question about it.
I think it's even. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are even based on the Cowboys losing the players that they lost in the offseason. But look, man, they still got some of the core pieces on the offensive side of the ball. Dalton Schultz is still there. CeeDee Lamb is still there. The running game is still there, and the quarterback is still there. Defensively, they've gotten better over time. Now you in your second year as the defensive coordinator, you're certainly going to be better there. The Eagles certainly got better. But they were away from the Cowboys to begin with.
Not according to Dan.
Well, Dan,
Mike
don't like the Eagles, though. Come on, man, stop.
Oh, you don't like the Cowboys.
Yeah.
No, I just do what I do.
Michael Irvin sat here
that's
yesterday.
That's not
lying.
That's
not lying.
Keyshawn, come on, man. We talking to Keyshawn. Hell yeah. You do have a soft spot for the Cowboys. Yes, you do.
I got you, Steven. Yeah, I got you, Jerry. I'll say good stuff on you. Yeah, I got you.
Is that why we're blue? Is that what you're
saying? That's right. That's probably why.
You're worse than Marcus.
That's not true.
Would you like to speak on this subject?
Listen, first of all, Let's address the obvious.
What?
It don't take that much to be better than the Cowboys. Can we just say that? It don't take much. I mean, it's not like you got to be world beaters in order to be better than the Cowboys. That ain't hard, okay? We understand that. Let's get that out the way. Now, having said all of that, I must say the Cowboys did shellack the Philadelphia Eagles pretty good last year. 41-21, one game. What was it the other? I forgot what the score was. They outscored them ultimately 92-47 in the two games that they played against them. Just shellacked them. To me, Philadelphia has a chance to be better because all the parts around Jalen Hurts are definitely comparable to anything that the Cowboys can throw at you. In my estimation, I like it. My question mark is about my brother Jalen Hurts. I got a lot of faith in him. He's got the moxie. He's got that swag. He's a competitor, and I think that he's going to go out there. But, you know, with 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, just completed 61% of his passes, I got some question marks about Jalen Hurts. We got to see how much he develops.
Let me help you understand. When you go out there and you get an A.J. Brown, there's a reason. Catch radius. A lot of times, quarterbacks may throw a ball that you think, oh, he really threw it to him, and it was great. if that's another receiver, it's over his head.
Key.
But when you got a huge catch radius,
yes,
Jalen Hurts all of a sudden starts to look like, I'll say it, a type of Dan Marino-looking thing. And not, don't say Dan Marino, but I'm talking about point accuracy.
Yeah, okay. And also, isn't it this key that they're going to take A.J. Brown and they're going to make this very simple.
Yeah,
this is going to be like RPO-based offense, yep, run-pass option to allow Jalen Hurts to be athletic. And these throws aren't going to be – he's going to have to make difficult throws on third down, but it's going to be A.J. run a 5-yard slant and then Jalen make the easy throw and go be a monster with the ball in your hands.
Here's the
shallow
cross.
It's going to be catch and run offense.
Here's the shallow cross. Boom, give it to him. And then you got Devontae.
You got
Devontae Smith there who's running, who's getting in his own. Jalen Rigger, I don't know yet. Everybody want to throw him in a trash can yet. Give him an opportunity. He got hurt early on in his career. Just give him one more.
And the Giants just aren't in this conversation. You're saying the Giants just aren't even a part of this?
No.
But they had a great
2024.
They had a great
2024 is when they matter.
You'll lose next year.
The Giants had
probably and then you'll be relevant and in the picture.
Giants had the best first round defense since Lawrence Taylor.
Let me ask you this question, Dan. Will they take Malik Willis at all? You think?
No, I think that I can see them trading for Baker Mayfield or drafting Sam Howell before they draft.
You're saying the. You're
Giants.
Saying the Giants?
Yeah. You know why?
Well, no, because they didn't pick up Danny Dimes.
That's why I'm asking you. And
his fifth-year option.
Malik Willis is closer to Josh Allen's style, ability.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, running. And
that's if they got Baker, hold on, one more thing. If they got Baker Mayfield?
No. Molly, quick, 13.
Okay. Tell me. Quick question. What about this kid to back up in Baltimore, Huntley? How come we don't talk about him enough? I mean, you know,
why
listen,
we don't talk about him?
He
I understand he's
games.
A backup. We talk about Baker Mayfield, ain't we?
Right,
talk about Baker Mayfield.
Mayfield was
just
a start.
I understand that.
And the backup to Lamar Jackson, why would you even?
Because I like the way he looked when I saw him.
Yeah, but where's he going? Well, we didn't talk about him before.
I'm just saying.
2 years from now, we might be having a conversation about him.
He's just fishing for his Steelers in case things don't work out.
Next class is where the Giants get their guy. Next year's class.
It's cool. I'm just living for the future.
I can't see Dable
good.
Going after right. Baker Mayfield.
Not
don't
see
that.
No.
For a fifth-round pick, I could see it.
Don't see that.
All right. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. The fallout continues from the disappointing ending to the Nets season. After getting swept by the Boston Celtics, Kyrie's squad has been at the center of a lot of conversation, including on this show. He tweeted this yesterday. When I see my name or my brothers and sisters' names getting spun through the media, I refer to all my research about who they are. Their job is to control public perception, all while profiting off of, discussing, discrediting, and disrespecting people's lives for entertainment. He went on to say, I send shots at the puppet masters, not the puppets. All the puppets do is run around society trying to gain popularity and state opinions. What a life. My name is worth billions to these media corporations. My brothers and sisters who deal with this know exactly what I mean. All right, Stephen A. and Keyshawn still here with me. Stephen A., your response to those tweets, and there were more by Kyrie. That was just a portion of them.
I'm going to be calm when I say this, Key. We are witnessing one of the most delusional athletes in American history. He's lost. Because he's so big on telling everybody else they're lost. Kyrie is also slick. Because he's trying to get away with something that I'm not going to allow him to get away from. You can try to paint this issue, Kyrie, into anything you want. What it comes down to and what everybody's focusing on, you don't want to show up to work. You want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, while you got your hand out for somebody else's money. And then when you get called on it, we're the peons. We're the ones who are puppets. So before you excoriated us, now you're pitying us. Because what you want to do is highlight the puppet masters who you are worth billions to. You're not worth billions, bro. Millions, yes. Billions, no. That's delusional. You gave that up years ago. Kyrie Irving, Keyshawn, as I've said on many occasions, is arguably the most spectacular talent in the NBA. He is box office. I remember taking the liberty of calling out Isaiah Thomas, my buddy, because he was on NBA TV the night Kyrie Irving dropped 60. And basically, to paraphrase, like, you see this, Stephen A., what about now, blah, 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 blah. And I said to Isaiah Thomas, what the hell you think I'm talking about? That's what we want to see. You're so spectacular. We want to see you play. Kyrie actually looks down on us because we want to see him play. And we're demanding that you play. You played 20 games your first year in Brooklyn. That means you missed, what is it, 62 games or whatever, but I think the season was halted at that time because of the pandemic, okay? But you missed this year games. You come back the next year, you play 54 games. You come back this year, it's the pandemic. You missed 53 games. Kyrie Irving is one of the greatest professionals at missing work. Right now, the season is over. He got 6 months off. 6 months off on top of the 53 games that he missed. Okay? And he's getting paid over $30 million. And don't think for 1 second he didn't get his money. He got money now. He got his money when he missed. So here you are. You don't want to work unless you want to do it when you want to do it. You come back from the whole mandate. And even though you had spectacular games, there were other games where you were struggling. And literally, he went on the record and was talking about he ain't got his legs. That he's a little bit tired. Well, what the hell were you doing with all of that time off? It's beyond the pale to ask that question. And then you go out on a Twitter rant and you start spewing this stuff. Why? Because the media who gets paid to cover the sport is asking you about the sport you voluntarily signed up to play, getting paid an exorbitant amount of dollars to play. Half the time you don't show up to work. They point it out. They point out the load that you put on your teammates because of your absence and talk about how that may very well be the reason why you got swept out of the first round. And that is on us. See, when you talk about Keyshawn, a player, and we're talking about, the media's talking about your personal life. I'm down with you, bro. personal life ain't none of our business. Mm-hmm. You know me. You know how I roll. Ain't none of my damn business. Yeah. Play. What you do with your personal life is your business. I ain't got nothing to say about that. Okay? But what you sign up for professionally, what people are professionally assigned to cover, they have a right to sit up there and say, yo, you ain't showing up to work. There's always something with you. There's always something. And so when he goes on a Twitter rant like this, to me, it is an evasive tactic to try to infuse or implement race, beliefs, or whatever into the equation. Ain't nobody going there. All we saying is, you are a spectacular talent who is a professional at taking time off. It's 11 years in this league, Keyshawn. He has played 60 games or less seven times. That means in nearly three quarters of his career, or to nearly two thirds of his career, this brother takes a quarter of the season off on top of the 6 months he religiously gets off. It's egregious. It makes no sense. And the fact that he can sit up there and act on a time at a time when he is swept, home watching the playoffs just like us, not participating, having broomsticks brought to your building, a building you very infrequently show up for, by the way, to sit up there and act like you are a victim and somebody has mistreated you is what I find weak and sad.
What I would say about this, though, Stephen A., look, if I'm giving him any advice, stop being rabbit ears. You know me.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about what I played about what the media said. That's just play. Whatever the case may be, you play. Whether you're black, you're white. I've had black writers say negative things about me. I've had white writers say negative things about me. Didn't affect my life one bit.
Right.
As far as his decision not to get vaccinated affected his team, I believe that. But it's his choice on whether or not he wants somebody sticking a needle in his arm.
True.
It's his choice. But when you make that choice in that decision, here's the consequence. You're going to wind up, as he said, having no continuity with the team. Things are all messed up. James Harden leaving because he didn't want to put up with it anymore. That's what's going to come about it. And you are right. People are paid in the media to cover a sport because that's what you're supposed to do. And you have an opinion based on what you see. Doesn't mean you dislike him. You're not in his personal life or anything like that. But again, the one thing that I would say to Kyrie, stop having rabbit ears, man. Stop paying attention to the negativity that you think that's out there.
One of the things I want to say, and I want to bring you up, because you were in the media capital world. You got drafted number one overall by the New York Jets. You were in the media capital of the world. Yeah, Keyshawn, you didn't give a damn. But there was a reason why you could get away with not giving a damn. And it wasn't just because of your ability on the football field. It's because you showed up to work. See, that's a key thing. In other words, you sat up there and somebody talked to you about your job. If you had a difference of opinion than they did, fine. But they were talking to you about a job you were doing. This brother is offended that people are pointing out you're not doing your job because you ain't showing up. When Kevin Durant was out on the court, we made the argument. Kevin Durant didn't say much about it. He tried his best. But he looked exhausted at times, okay, and looked injured. Nobody wants to point out how, all of those nights you had to go out on the court without Kyrie. Who's the reason you came to Brooklyn? Who was the reason James Harden came to Brooklyn? Who assembled the squad? Steve Nash is in Brooklyn because Kyrie and KD signed off on it because Kyrie got KD to sign off on it. All of this stuff. You got your fingerprints all over this franchise, but you didn't show up when it counted, and you detrimentally hurt the team, and everybody else are puppets and puppet masters because we point out that you did not show up to do your job and had a negative impact on this team.
That's misinformation being given to him by somebody, even his own self. Misinformation about the way people view him not playing. If he would have simply got vaccinated, he would have played. But if you remember early on.
Right.
He didn't know. So the mandate was coming
down. But you have to remember what I said. Remember, before there was a vaccine, the brother got 10 months off.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks into the season, took time off because he was traumatized by the riots. So traumatized that he was caught partying. And then the NBA had to let him stay off additional time because he violated safety protocols. What I'm saying to you is that we have evidence that shows that Kyrie marches to his own beat. It's not that he's lazy. It's not that he doesn't put in work. He's the kind of dude, Molly and Keyshawn, Kyrie will do 3 hours. Let's say, for example, hypothetically, it's 3 hours. So you got practice from 10 a.m. to noon. Nah, that brother want to do from 3 to 6. Nah, he want to do from 5 to 8. It's not that he don't want to put in the 3 hours. He want to do it when he wants to do it. That's why he said we don't need a coach, because he didn't want somebody to have to answer to. And see, when people point this stuff out, which is factual, fact, the evidence is there. He sits up there and acts like he's the victim, which he's a master at, by the way. And what my disgust, let me also express my disgust to some, not all, not most, but to some Brooklyn Nets fans. Here's the deal, y'all. You can support the brother. I know this much. I'm Knicks first, New York always. If the Knicks ain't winning, I want somebody from New York to win, damn it, because it don't happen often, okay? Okay? I struggle with that, right?
Well, you got a whole problem.
I had a whole problem,
they
right?
Ain't gonna be
we all know Mets, Yankees, everybody, Giants, Jets, see what I go through, all of this stuff, right? Here's my point. You are a Brooklyn Nets fan. Everybody was hyped when Kyrie and KD announced they were coming to Brooklyn, man. You had people buying season tickets, going crazy the whole bit. They were scheduled to play 247 games together. They have played 58 games together. In the 3 years they've been together, they have won one playoff series. One. You look at this team, they have underachieved. It's got his fingerprints all over it. And the brother pocketing 30-plus million along the way. And we have the gall to sit up there and say, yo, man, you gonna play? And everybody's trying to make this out to be something it isn't. This ain't about him fasting. It ain't about his religion. It ain't about just the vaccine. It ain't about the vaccine per se. I know indirectly it is, but it was really about you assembled the crew. It wasn't about, oh, yo, just take the vaccine. Yeah, I took it, you took it, but some people don't do it. We good with that. But you got everybody to sign up. Everybody signed up to Brooklyn because of you. And then when some adversity struck, you said you on y'all on your own. That is what we're talking about with Steve Kyrie Irving. So he could try to change the narrative all he wants to. I'm not, if ever I was committed to making sure somebody don't get the last word, it's him. I ain't letting it happen ever. Because this brother right here, he will sit up there and twist the narrative, and you got some suckers out here who will buy it. No, he ain't getting no damn last word. Not here, not in this lifetime.
You have the last word.
I feel you.
Not in this lifetime. We're up against it.
No rabbit ears, though, man.
We're going to revisit this later with Kendrick Perkins.
Sure. He ain't getting the last word. He ain't getting the last word. No. Right. He's losing. He ain't getting it done.